Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message from our pastor's wife, Ivy Lynn Newell. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
I'm going to go ahead and share a scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Amen. Beyond everything is fresh and new. Amen. Amen. What a scripture. And that's the Passion translation. I love that translation. Yes. So I'm going to start, and bear with me. I'm just going to pretty much read off the iPad. And I just want to say I love y'all. I really love y'all so much. And, yeah, I just had to say that. Thank you, Jesus, for your peace.
Yes, amen.
My story starts way before I became a mother, but as much to do with the testimony of being a mother. So, all right, let's stay to the page. Okay. When you have such a traumatic experience, even as a young age, you don't forget. You never forget the feeling or the images or how comfortable or how unclean you have felt. When I was 5 years old, my mother was married to a man that was physically abusive to her. I remember he would punch her in the stomach when he was pregnant with my little brother. And there would be other times where she would just, you know, be crying and you don't know why. There was much abuse. And anyway, what she didn't know what she didn't know was that I would be sexually molested when she was at work and wasn't around. The details aren't necessary to share, but I do want to take away from the seriousness of this experience. This would happen from time to time when he saw the opportunity. And this also led to one of his friends sexually abusing me as well. And he would tell me, you know, you can't tell, because if you tell, you know, I won't be your best friend anymore. And as a little girl, you're just like, you know, you don't want to lose a friend. And so I never told. That was a very scary thing to do. And so I kept that in. And then when you're a child, like, you know that that's wrong, but you're like just trying, you know, to figure things out. And you're trying to, you're just not sure, but you know it's wrong and you don't know how to deal with it and you don't know how to go to someone. But there was also something else that happened to me when I was 5. My grandmother, who has a miraculous story of God herself, she would visit and she would just talk about Jesus. Oh my gosh, would she talk about Jesus? She was so annoying. Oh my gosh. She would, I mean, and still to this, you know, day, it's just, you know, all about Jesus. And he will actually call me Carol. He's like, all right, Carol, you know. And I'm like, So it's just, you know, it's just so awesome, though. I'm so thankful for that, because she asked me if I wanted Jesus to come into my heart, and I said yes. And so she is just such a special person to me. And I want to honor her. And she always prayed for me, counseled me with the word, loved me, and prayed for my spouse. And that's why I got him.
I got you, bitch.
God was with me, and I had no idea. And so one night, we were watching this show called America's Most Wanted. Doesn't you remember that? Anybody? It's a great show. Along with Unsolved Mysteries, that creepy guy. In this episode, so John Walsh, he had a son, Adam Walsh, and he ended up getting kidnapped in a Sears department store. And so when that happened, I remember he was like the same age as me. And so I really connected with this boy. Like, I was just like, oh my goodness, I was, you know, so saddened for him. And so while we were watching that show, I ended up feeling that urge, like I needed to tell my mother. And so I told my mom, you know, that I was, you know, sexually molested by my father. And so she immediately was heartbroken, and she ended up calling the police. And all I knew the next moment was there was all these police there, and I never saw that man again. And I want to honor my mom.
Yes.
She's been a strong protector and did everything she could to take care of us. She knows the love that makes sacrifices. She always wanted to do things for us, good things. I'm so thankful for my mother. The Lord has blessed me so much. I love you, Mom. And so that's when I realized that the man that I thought was my father wasn't my father. So I guess that made it a little better. But I never met my father when he found out, when my mother was pregnant, and he found that out. He didn't want anything to do with her. So I have an amazing godly father, and it's amazing. When the enemy finds access into your life, he exploits it in an attempt to destroy you. There was a pattern of abuse and molestation, and yes, promiscuity on my part. Through my elementary and junior years, it seemed as though I was a target, and I was pursued by boys and men and forced to engage in sexual acts. I came to accept that this is how things were and that was normal. I knew that it was wrong, and there was always guilt and shame. And really, I think all of that just came out of, I don't know, I always dreamt of just wanting to be married and live happily ever after, you know? Like, every girl just kind of dreams of, you know, the happily ever after, you know? Disney fairy tale. And praise God, I got that.
We got that.
By God's grace and glory. And in my heart, I knew there was always something better. I just didn't know how to get there. Our family, during those years, we would go to church occasionally on holidays. It wasn't really a priority. But fast forward to my junior year in high school, I was looking forward to prom and cheerleading. And it was New Year's Day, and me and my close friends and a regular that we regularly hanged out were getting together to exchange some gifts. My parents were always very strict about knowing where we were and who we were with. And since it was a regular group of friends, they were perfectly fine with it, but the one friend brought his cousin along with him. And I didn't know him, I've never seen him, was not expecting him, nor was I interested whatsoever. In fact, he creeped me out. Total creeper. It's written on the iPad, I had to say it. And you know, ladies, when you get that vibe, I'm just saying, you're just like, yeah, bad news bear. Throughout the day, I felt more and more uncomfortable around this guy. As we were watching movies and the parents and my friends would slip upstairs for a time, I found myself alone with this guy. And in that moment, I don't even know how it happened, but you're so fearful, it's like you freeze. You think that you would... Hang on. Rewind. Before I could act or react, he was forcing himself on me. You think you would scream and kick and punch, but in the moment I had no idea what to do. You're just in shock. Telling him no, he wouldn't listen. I felt so helpless. And it all happened so quickly. I felt so angry and scared. I remember thinking, what if I have a disease? A few weeks later, after school, I went with my best friend to the doctor's office for her physical, and I felt like I needed to request a pregnancy test. I'd like to tell you I wasn't pregnant, but I was pregnant. It happened so quickly, I really didn't expect that. I couldn't believe it. I mean, so quickly. It's like you always hear these people say, I never expected it to happen to me. You know, it's like one of those stories. I went to my friend's house and told my mom to come get me, and I told her. I told her what the boy did and that I was pregnant, and we cried. I remember telling my grandma, and she told me her testimony of what God has healed her from. So my mom and I told my dad, and we ended up calling the police, and we recorded him of admitting that he raped me. And then we had a conversation with his parents. And I discussed it with my family and his. And my parents said whatever choice I made, they were with me all the way. so I felt like because I wasn't the one that wanted this, that it wasn't fair to me to decide to have, to decide. It wasn't fair. So I, sorry. And so I decided to have an abortion. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for this moment. I felt like I wasn't responsible because it wasn't my choice to have sex with him. And seeing how he did this to me, he would have to pay for the abortion. His parents agreed. I remember at the place, that I never got to see the monitor or hear the heartbeat. And I knew if I would, I would have made a different decision. I knew I would have. I was 3 months along when I had the procedure, one of the scariest experiences I've ever done. I really don't know what to say because it was devastating. So then, you know, you start to think like, you start to think things like, well, how long ago that was, and all that. And so that the child, if it was born, I keep saying he because that's all I know, it would have been 17 years old. And when you think of it as that, it just, I don't know, for some reason it just blew my mind that it would be 17, she'd be 17. But I thought maybe that's my girl and she's in heaven. God is so loving and faithful, and his mercies are new every day. I needed so much healing and so much grace. The Lord led our family to a wonderful church in Nicholson, PA, Trinity Assembly of God. That's where we began to turn our lives around. Church matters, y'all. It really does. He matters. But this matters.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That wasn't on the iPad. One of the things I kept asking the Lord is, I would always ask him forgiveness every time I'd go to the altar, was for that sin. And I, every altar call, I would, you know, ask for forgiveness. I felt like I could never, like, get that off of me. It was so heavy. But God began to restore and heal me step by step. I rededicated my life to the Lord at my grandmother's church. Then one Sunday in Nicholson, a lady missionary was speaking, and she made an altar call to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My brother and I were both filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what I thought of this morning? My brother and I share the same birthday. And I was like, we were filled with the Holy Spirit on the same day. That, you know, like you're born again in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my gosh, Holy Spirit, you're so amazing. Like I couldn't have pointed that out in a million years. So now I'm not so mad that he was born on my birthday. Because God is in control. I was baptized in water. My whole family, my mom, my brother, we were all baptized on the same night. My mother-in-law was there before she was my mother-in-law. I'm pretty sure Angela was there. That's where I met the Newell family, everyone except for this guy. He was on the road building some kind of church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And it's a joke, but I always say that I love Nathan's dad before I loved him, because he was the first man that I ever met that didn't want anything from me. And I trusted his hugs. Such a good man. God is so good at giving second chances. I know this is silly, but my senior year, I had missed cheerleading tryouts because of everything that was going on. Like the day that I was going to do the tryout is the day where I decided to get the pregnancy test. And so, and you know, you're in high school, so you don't think of like checking those things, like when you're peer. Yep. Anyway.
That's
sorry.
PG, we said it was PG.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying? But, oh my goodness. Okay. So, anyway, so I missed that day because of that. And, another girl had dropped off the team, and there was other girls that were in line and, you know, could be, but even though there was, you know, hang on a minute. There was something, I knew there was something significant about this because God had allowed me a second chance of getting on the team without even trying out. And y'all know I have no rhythm whatsoever. I don't even know why I was on a cheerleading team, but I was. I just love to cheer. And so I now get to be a cheerleader of five boys. And it's the best. Be a cheerleader, y'all. It's awesome. The Lord's favor and grace and mercy was because I was able to get on that cheerleading team, and I know that's silly, but it was a big deal. There's so much more to this story. When you look back at all that has been and that all has happened, you realize the weight of your decisions and mistakes. You realize just how beautiful the love of Jesus is. It's love that covers, protects, restores, changes, renews, and sets us free. It's not just a one-time love either. It's a love that is pure, relentless, and keeps showing up. Like when you have to tell your son what you've been through because you don't want him to hear it first time in a public setting. And after you tell him, you ask him, Are you mad at me? And fully expecting him to say yes and be okay with that answer, he instead says no. He's not mad. And I was just so undone by that because I totally expected him to say yes and I would just have been okay. I would have been okay. And the love of Jesus breaks me all over again. And shows up through a child you know you don't deserve. But God, in his goodness, I said yes to Jesus. And he healed me fully. He's so good. He corrected my thinking. He mended my heart. And I am a mother of four beautiful children here and one that I will someday see. I'm a mother because I am a daughter. I'm a daughter because I have a heavenly father who loves me more than I could ever describe. Yes. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I love that scripture. The point of all this is not to bring any kind of glory to the stuff I walk through, but to glory and to honor and to glorify the one who carried me through all this stuff. Only God. And that's his story of my life.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you and have a wonderful week.